So I was saying to my husband, Jack, a few days ago, you know, I really need something fresh for my story. And then he delivers this ambulance to the driveway on Friday. What a provider. He went a little too far, though, which is, you know, the mark of an amateur. He doesn't know what he's doing when it comes to getting sick, but me, I'm an entirely different class. I am an all-star sick person. I've been hospitalized over a dozen times. I've had 7 surgeries, and some of those have had sub-surgeries. And when I call for an emergency vehicle, I make sure it's for a head injury, baby, because that way they bring the medevac helicopter to your yard, and that's a lot more entertaining for the neighbors than just an ambulance up the driveway. This magnificent vessel here is what I think of as a fragile corpus. And it's really meant only for display purposes, I think, not actual use. especially my teeth, which aren't even really all mine. Right now I have 3 dental implants, 2 porcelain veneers, a bridge, 11 gold-filled crowns, 3 titanium plates, and 14 titanium screws in my greater mouth region. I blame my mother. She decided to give birth to me in West Virginia. I don't know what she was thinking. She had choices, and she chose unwisely. My mother also had a thing about fluoride and that it wasn't something that you would put in a child's mouth. Fluoride is poison, she said. So I spent a lot of time at the dentist office growing up. Other kids would be going off to ballet lessons or soccer practice, and I had this 4:30 standing appointment on Fridays with Dr. Shade, a man whose name, pronounced in proper German, Schade, is the word for pity. Dr. Shade was really a sweet guy, and he looked a little like Glenn Campbell, the rhinestone cowboy. He understood my mother's passionate distrust of fluoride, and he was also from West Virginia, so he was a crappy dentist, but he was cheap. And for that reason, I stayed with him, enjoyed a long and happy relationship with Dr. Shade. He gave me my first root canal at the age of 16. All the way through college, we were together. But then I married and left home, and I had to find a new dentist. And I just became a little oral care practitioner promiscuous. I wasn't too careful about whose reclining chair I dropped into for a while. I saw a Leslie, a Leonard, a couple of Stuarts, a Diane. I don't even remember all their names. I just know that a new dentist, when peering down into my pathetic mouth for the first time, would say something to me like, "What have you been doing, chewing gravel?" So it was during these careless years that I started racking up the root canals and crowns. I got a bridge, my first bridge, which is loose right now and could fall off at any minute. I was diagnosed with a nerve disorder in my teeth called atypical facial neuralgia, and I learned to carry around Fixident at all times. Then I had a bicycle accident, landing me on my head, snapping off a piece of the jaw at the joint. And I started having surgeries after that. I did get that helicopter ride that I mentioned. So the first surgery that I had after the jaw injury was called a closed reduction. For the closed reduction, because I had come in by helicopter and they felt they didn't know what was going on with me, they had to do what they call an awake nasal intubation. And that's where, well, before they put you under, they make way for the breathing tube up your nose. And they stuck a handful of giant Q-tips up my nose to force a passage for the plastic tube, which then they put through my nose and down my throat. Q-tips still freak me out a little bit. And then I went under, and they wired my jaw shut. For 3 weeks, I couldn't eat, talk, yawn, or sneeze. Unfortunately, that surgery didn't work. It was meant to stabilize the broken jaw, but a few weeks later, I found out that it hadn't worked. I'm not sure how they knew, they told me that if I didn't have a second surgery, I would be lopsided, and if I tried to open my mouth, which I couldn't because it was wired shut, I would look something like this. So the second surgery recommended was called an open reduction, and my new surgical team, Paul and Tony, Paul was from, he's actually the chief plastics guy at Hopkins, and Tony was his trusty sidekick because plastic surgeons come in pairs for some reason. And so, you know, he was trying to pitch the open reduction surgery to me. Open sounds better than closed, right? I hadn't had a pleasant experience the last time. But open actually isn't any better, because open means open up your head. And they hadn't done that to me before. They had done the nose thing, but not the head thing. So I got to be asleep for the intubation part, but I didn't rest very peacefully, because there's something, you know, disconcerting about having a power drill used on your head next to your ear. What they did was they went in and fished out the little piece of bone that had broken off and then put it back in the right place, reattached it with the plate and screws. But we were all hopeful that would work. Unfortunately, it didn't. And 4 months later, Paul and Tony were so sad to break the news to me that I was going to need a third surgery. This one called a sagittal split. Now, the sagittal split involved using a bone saw and on my upper and lower jaw, sawing through and then sliding the pieces around to nice happy shapes and, you know, clamping all down with more plates and screws. And after the first two surgeries, I was like, you know, done. So Paul and Tony really had to talk me into it. I remember we were in the exam room and Paul was looking at me saying, you know, you can only open your mouth 25 millimeters, and normally a person can open about 45 millimeters, and you need 40 millimeters to get your mouth around a big, juicy hamburger. He's demonstrating the hamburger holding position. You know, it's big, all right, and it's got a nice big bun on that. He looks over at Tony, and Tony's, yeah. And I said, I mean, do I look like I eat a lot of hamburgers? I said, you know, I'm okay. We can just pass this up. Maybe it's the time I'm vegetarian. Paul said, no, no. He was pretty insistent. No, you're only 32. You're very young. And there will be times when you will want to get your mouth around a big, juicy hamburger. Tony agrees. I'm just not getting the picture. And then it hit me. Paul was talking about meat in the metaphorical sense. And that if I didn't have this third surgery, I would be useless to any man in the oral pleasure department. Meaning, useless. So I scheduled this third surgery with the recommended team, Jeff and BJ. And the surgery went very well, although I had substantial swelling afterwards. They had to pack my head in ice, and when the swelling started to go down, you could see my eyeballs again. I looked a little like Jay Leno, but older and fatter. However, it worked, if you know what I mean. Eventually, I settled down with a nice dentist, and three implants and several crowns later, we're still together. Richard has been great to me. Of course, I haven't told you about the other stuff on me that's messed up, my congenital hip dysplasia or my less than perfect visual acuity of 5/400, or the Lyme disease that I picked up over the summer. But what does any of that matter when you have adequate jaw function to give a really nice blowjob?